Frankie Teardrop, 20-year-old Frankie. He's married, he's got a kid, and he's working in a factory. He's working from 7 to 5. Trying to survive.
Hey guys, it's episode 603 of All Time Top 10. We hope you folks survived the relentless ridiculousness of Top 10 Two-Man Bands Part 1. Of course, if you missed it, you know, go back and check it out before proceeding here. But if you've successfully endured the first half of our epic hang with Fernando Perdomo and Michael Collins of the soon-to-be legendary two-man band Broken Sound, steel yourself, because part one went off the rails and part two never actually returns to the rails. So it's a no-rail show, everybody. But it's also great fun, and the music presented here is quite excellent. Picks 5 through 1 coming up next in part two of Top 10 Two-Man Bands. All right, thanks to everyone who's been following us on social media for all your picks and your votes in our music polls. As always, you guys help us every week with the bonus track of the week, and also polls related to the big list, the list to end all lists, the Pantheon, the ATTT 1000, aka the 1000 greatest songs we've ever heard. So we got into some early rock and roll this week. At number 658, it was Chuck Berry with Johnny B. Goode. I was asking you guys, what's the best song with a dude's name in the title? And you guys came through big time, especially over on Threads. It went nuts. You guys picked over 500 songs. Believe it, especially over there on Threads. It's crazy. Thank you so much. I don't have time to list even a tenth of those. I'll just list off a few here that you guys suggested. Fernando by ABBA, Vincent by Don McLean, James by Billy Joel, Tom Sawyer, Charlie Parker by Jonathan Wilson, Gino by Dexy's Midnight Runners, Daniel by Elton John, John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt, Peter Piper, Maddie Groves, Ben by Michael Jackson, of course, Joey by Concrete Blonde, Jeremy by Pearl Jam, and way, way more. Thank you, guys. But Johnny B. Goode is the song. Our friend Jeff says it's rock and roll's first great riff. Our friend Joe Lavelle, says the following: Chuck, it's Marvin, your cousin Marvin Berry. You know that new sound you're looking for. Well, listen to this. Thank you, Joe. At number 657, it's Bill Haley and His Comets with Rock Around the Clock. I was asking you guys, what's the best pre-1955 rock and roll song? You guys had some great suggestions here. Shake, Rattle, and Roll, Mess Around, Rocket 88, Hound Dog, Hank Williams with Move It On Over, Laverne Baker, Tweedly Deedly Dee, Sister Rosetta Tharpe with Rock Me, Fats Domino with The Fat Man, Rock the Joint by Jimmy Preston, and Tiny Bradshaw with Train Kept a Rollin'. But we do love Rock Around the Clock from Bill Haley and His Comets. Our friend Bill says, I always consider this the first true rock and roll hit for the masses. Fast beat and a catchy tune gets people dancing and feeling good, which is what rock and roll is all about. And a friend, Susan, said, I always think of Bill Haley and the Comets as the bridge between swing bands and rock. I like that. Thank you, Susan. Last but not least, it's number 656, Les Paul and Mary Ford with How High the Moon. I was asking you guys, who is the greatest rock and roll power couple? Good stuff here. John and Yoko, Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash, Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires, who just broke up, by the way. Sad to hear. Ozzy and Sharon Osbourne, Mitch and Mickey, Captain and Tennille, Pat Benatar and Neil Giraldo, Paul and Linda McCartney, Lux Interior and Poison Ivy, and thank you so much to our friend David, who says Shannon Hurley and Ben Eisen. You guys are great. Thank you, David and everyone else, for all of those suggestions. Those three songs, including How High the Moon, are now added to the ATTT 1000 playlist, and they are over there available for your listening pleasure and viewing pleasure on YouTube, but listening pleasure on Spotify. Check it out. They're growing every week. Follow along. They're we'll be adding more next week, and we're going to keep it going. All right. Thanks so much, everyone. Let's get into this episode, though. Let's clear the decks for Fernando and Michael to be their hilarious selves and play some great music in Top 10 Two-Man Bands Part 2. Check it out. Roll the tape.
Murray.
Oh, guys. What are you doing here? This is not a scheduled band meeting. You
know, Murray, getting... we need some money.
Oh, okay. How much? You got about $4 in here.
$4? I thought we had $10.
This box cost $6.
What was wrong with the bag?
The bag was useless, Brett. It had a great big hole in it. We must have lost about $20 out of that bag. It's the box now. You like it? I chose it.
Well, can we have the $4?
Well, there'll be nothing in the box. There's $4. I got 27 cents here.
Well, have we sold any t-shirts?
2.
What about mouse pads?
No.
Sold any mouse pads?
No, I told you. Terrible idea. I don't know what to do with them. I've got so many mouse pads at home because of your bad idea, Brett. What do you do with mouse pads? I've lined Toby's kennel with them. He keeps eating them. I've tried to waterproof the kitchen.
Well, we need some cash.
Well, maybe you guys should think about supplementing your band income by getting another job, like I do with this job.
Murray, the Prime Minister's office wants to talk to you about the World Trade Expo next week.
Can you tell them I'll ring them straight back? I've just got a couple of businessmen here.
Everybody knows you manage a band during office hours, Murray. Hey, guys.
Hey, Greg.
I wear that t-shirt all the time.
Top 10 Two-Man Bands, Part 2.
Money. Sex. Fame. Record deal. Brand new car. Stability. Popularity. Spotify listeners.
Everybody wants, everybody wants, nobody needs, body needs. Everybody wants, everybody wants, nobody needs, body needs. Everybody wants, everybody wants, nobody needs, body needs. Everybody wants, everybody wants, nobody needs, body needs.
I was into the cock rock of the day at that
time.
Northeast Wisconsin.
Well, yeah.
It's classic rock, and it's you know,
grand, it's nothing but grand funk.
Yeah, well, it's lots of Motley Crue, lots of Poison, lots of Guns N' Roses. That was my thing, and then I went like deeper into metal, thrash,
real metal.
I turned it into thrash, and then Nirvana came in, and everything
was out. You're out of a job. You're out of a job. You're out of a job.
Until Rocklahoma comes back.
Yeah, right. this is a whole subject of another conversation. But unfortunately, in about 99 and 2000, 2001, it really seems like grunge had a baby and whatever that was, which nobody will ever admit or define or care to.
New metal, rap metal.
And yeah, then it created it. There's always the runoff from the there's always the runoff of the roof onto the boots, on off of the sole into the gutter.
Right.
And that is the next thing that becomes popular. And it's like, oh yeah, you know, everybody was doing that clench jaw vocal thing.
Right, everyone wanted to be Eddie Vedder. It got really bad. And what I think killed rock and roll, I mean, it didn't kill it. It's not dead. It's just dormant or just at its lowest ebb since 1963 or something. It's Nickelback. And I'm sure they're nice guys, but goddamn, they're the most boring band on earth, the most milquetoast, just lame ass shit, and they're just catchy enough to get like all the records industry people who are corporate that don't give a fuck about
they
music.
Don't care.
Hey, just, they make money. More bands like that.
It's just a candy bar.
Yeah, more bands. They wanted rock to not evolve anymore because Nickelback was making so much money. Everyone sounded like Nickelback, you know, and that killed it. It killed rock.
I was at a party last night, and there was a guy unironically wearing a Nickelback shirt.
Well, yeah, and that's the new irony.
Yeah, Creed too. Yeah, like, right, Creed's so cool. No, they're not.
I have a terrible thing to admit.
What?
Miami doesn't have a lot of rock people.
No, and that's true.
One of the people that happens to live in South Florida is Scott Stapp.
Yeah,
and I was in a three-piece band called DC3, and two of the guys had gotten the gig playing with Scott Stapp, and then one day their bass player quit and said, "Would you like to audition?"
Oh my
and
god!
And I'm like, "Oh god!" But they're like, they had a tour pending, and I was like, "Okay." And I learned like five songs and showed up to Scott Stapp's house, and I know what it's like to be there. And he goes, "I would take you higher."
Yeah.
And I'm playing.
You played along to that. Yeah. It was guitar and bass.
Bass.
That was fucking awesome.
And in the end, I ended up taking a different tour. But I know what it's like to play in a rehearsal of Scott Stapp.
Wow.
Was he?
There's got to be more.
Was he as douchey as he comes across? Or
okay, so right? I walked in the room.
Yeah.
And he was showing off a gun to the friends of the guys.
Okay, all right.
And it was this big gun. Fuck. And I tried to break the ice with Scott and say, "Scott, if you shot me from there, from this close, how big a hole would you put in me?" And he says, "Well, the holes would be small, but there'd be 32 of them."
Oh, God. Oh,
wow. What a dick.
Should I include this in the episode?
Yes, or please.
No? Oh, my goodness.
Please.
This does bring up a whole other...
That's a scoop right there. Can you fix that again? This thing is being done.
That night I had a staph infection.
Tonight and every night.
With legs wide open.
That was insane.
I do remember. What a story. Yeah, I do remember him singing. I think the Star Spangled Banner before a NASCAR race I happened to be watching a NASCAR race because I'm a little bit of a motorsports nut. I don't follow it so much now, but I mean, I used to vintage road race motorcycles
for Cale Yarborough.
Late great.
Yeah. He was a great one.
And wow, what a pull.
I mean, but I was, what was I going to say? Oh, this was a very long-winded. K-A-L-E? Yeah. A Cale Yarborough salad?
Cale Yarborough sex tape. Look at
Jesus Christ.
We're tossing Cale Yarborough salad. Now we're way off the rails. Anyway, but what I was going to say, it did bring up an idea that I've long since had, which is like the game of like, what is a gig that is so abominable but could be lucrative, like that it's like the canker sore you can't keep your tongue out of before you
keep that in mind for the next record, see
how much you make it hurt before you can't stand it anymore. Like,
you know what though, you guys don't have that problem with broken sound.
Yay!
Yeah. Welcome back to the show, everybody. And we're back. We're back with part two of Top 10 Two-Man Bands with our favorite two-man band, the guys from Broken Sound. Fernando Perdomo's right over there.
Hi, hi.
Yeah. And the newcomer, the rookie, hitting it out of the park. His first time out. The great Michael Collins.
Thank you. See, hello, Mom. Hello, Dad.
Does Broken Sound have music available for people to listen to?
Yes, it is. We have an album that's been out now for almost a year that we're really excited about. It's called Broken Sound by Broken Sound on Broken Sound Records, which is a fairly fantastic little record that we made.
It's so good, you guys.
No, we really were excited, and we still are excited about it, and we love playing the music live. It's really live-oriented, but the record sounds really cool, and again, we just used three elements: vocals, drums, and
bass six.
And
yeah,
it's
so cool.
A really fun thing because we like to get a really big sound, just the two of us.
Yeah, well, and the writing's very rangy. There's a lot of riff-based kind of, you know, there's some riffy stuff,
grooves,
but then there's, you know, some kind of melodic jingle jangle power pop, as much as you can translate that over onto the bass six. But there's harmonies, there's
a slight hint of prog.
Yeah, there's even some prog in there, which is super cool because it stretches me to the absolute end of the fiber of my being for what I can do.
What he just said. Yeah, it's great. And the music videos are, they look like they're like really fun to put together.
Well, I'll tell you, they were extremely expensive. We probably spent $57
on four of them. Sounds like sarcasm.
And that was just medical bills. That was just a copay.
I will put up the links to
I laugh so hard my belly hurts.
I'll put up the links to all the stuff, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks. We're actually hard at work, just thinking about the next one.
Hey.
That's a lot of work.
Cannot wait. All right. Okay. Let's get back into our list. Fernando, yay! Number five is yours. You're going to get two picks in this episode, plus we're going to collaborate on both tracks. So
this is a band that's extremely modern to the point where they were only formed 3 years ago.
Broken Sound. Oh,
No. This is a band that is absolutely mind-blowing. I discovered them through a random YouTube video that I saw. And next thing you know, they're headlining and they're opening up major shows. And they are about to blow up. They are a band called Illiterate Light. And and a lot of people, you know, I have a sticker of theirs on my car, and they're like, what the hell's that? I'm like, well, first of all, Literate Light is a Wilco reference, but it is a band that is from Virginia, Harrisonburg, Virginia. It consists of Jeff Gorman and Jay Cochran, and basically it is a band that has a drummer and a guitar player. A guitar player plays bass with his feet. Drummer plays drums with his hands and feet. But he also does some stuff with a pad that sounds really cool. But the thing that's really cool about this band is that they also have incredible harmonies between the two of them. And they get an incredibly full sound. And their songwriting is top-notch. And I just... This video that I sent you is beyond mind-blowing. He's got the fact that the entire song is based on a very like Rosanna type shuffle groove, which is really bizarre for this style of music, but
the Purdy Shuffle.
It's very Purdy Shuffle inspired. But this is this band, Illiterate Light. I've seen. I tell you what, they were the last band I saw before the lockdown, and it was one of the greatest shows I've seen in my entire life. They were at the Moroccan Lounge, and everybody jaw dropped. It was just absolutely incredible. So, better than I used to.
From Illiterate
Light. Check this out. Another one for the big screen.
All right. Yeah. Fern's predicting now they're on their way.
They are beyond on their way. They're playing big festivals and they're doing really, really good.
Nice. All right. Illiterate Light, number five.
Number five, Illiterate Light.
Only three things
That's killer, man.
Oh, so cool.
Illiterate Light.
Yes.
Excellent.
And those guys are also sweethearts. Really, really cool and really, really awesome live. But they have a very interesting gimmick. So they have a vehicle, a tour vehicle that they tour in, just the two of them. They have no merch person. They have no proof house. But they also have a self-contained audience-powered PA system that they tour with.
Audience-powered.
This is what they do. They set up, and there's three bicycles, and they have three audience members sit down on the bicycles and pedal, and that powers the PA system.
This is actually a much more humane version of a fund drive.
So yeah. Literally...
For like a public radio station. Just can I just ride a bike for 45 minutes and you store that?
There's videos of them playing, and there's like three people on bicycles.
What if they stop?
Enjoying the show. Well... Just
all the power's down.
But no, this is a really, really cool thing.
That's very cool. There's a lot to like about that.
They are amazing, and they are blowing up.
And that one dude looks just like Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I had to tell Grandma she's been praying to a picture of Jeff Gorman for the last 20 years.
She's all right with it. All this time.
Yeah,
I mean, he's finally here.
That is a great pick. Thank you so much for that. I hope they do blow up like you said.
Oh, man, they are in the process. They might blow up by the time this episode airs.
Awesome. Let's go to number four. This one's mine, and I'm so glad I got to this. I didn't think I would, because Michael spilled the beans on who he was going to pick earlier via text, and I was like, keep your picks to yourself, but he did mention this one in his list, and I was like, let me get to They Might Be Giants before he does. I think from 1994 through like 1997, they were my absolute favorite band. Like during those years, it was like, that's the only thing I wanted to listen to besides them and the Dead Milkmen. But yeah,
I knew a lot of guys like you
during that time.
During that time. And I wasn't, you know, I lived in St. Louis during those years, but it was nice to know that in every city, every state, everywhere, there were guys like that, and that was kind of, and I was kind of like, yeah, this is cool, and it's interesting, and it's like, I wasn't all in, but I definitely dug the sort of anti-rockist thing that they were doing, but then the Oklahoma in me was like, well, yeah, they're not a rock band, dude.
They're from New York City.
Yeah.
New York City!
Get a rope.
Exactly.
I remember that.
You were
commercial.
The one that said, get a rope.
Get these nerds out of here. Nah, but I remember seeing, not to steal your thunder, but I remember the first time I saw the video, the first time I ever saw or heard anything from them, and it was Anna Ang. And I just thought, this is really interesting. Yeah. I like it. I like what these little artsy nerds are doing.
That is what they are, for sure. So they have had a touring band since the mid-90s. In fact, I saw them in Madison in like 95, and that was like the very first tour they had with a full band. But for the first, like their formative years and like their big, like in the mainstream years, Flood and Apollo 18 and Lincoln and the self-titled, those were all, everything was just the two of them, and they would tour as a duo too. They did everything just as a duo. So I think they're going to count.
Did their time, and I remember to corroborate your story, I remember reading about them not longer after I watched that video, that yes, they were touring around the country in a very dirty white Ford Econoline van.
Yeah, just the two of them. Yeah,
the two of them.
That's right. So I'm not going to get through their whole history, but their origin story is kind of neat. And here's a few excerpts from tmbgwiki.net. So John Linnell was born June 12th, 1959 in New York, later moving to Lincoln, Massachusetts when he was 8. John Flansburgh was born May 6th, 1960 in Lexington, Massachusetts. Lincoln had been collectively described as a culturally removed upper middle class rural suburban town in the heart of liberal America, both then and now. The Johns grew up in the shadow of Vietnam and Watergate, yet were removed from it in a direct way due to their youth. Details regarding their first encounters between the Johns are sketchy. Both believe that they first likely met sometime in elementary school. if you can believe that. One account of an early encounter, as related by Linnell, is of Flansburgh approaching him with an odd play made up of 100 one- or two-line acts. Flansburgh was sincere, but Linnell remembers being put off a bit by this eager, loud fellow student. Linnell also once told the story of John Flansburgh repeatedly calling him up to talk about nothing, with Linnell really not knowing who he was.
So it was kind of like, it was kind of a Seinfeld thing.
Yeah, I guess so. So they became friends in high school, where the two made and distributed small comic books. In his freshman year, Linnell joined the school newspaper, the Promethean. Flansburgh joined the following year. Both wrote for the paper. Linnell was a productive cartoonist. By their senior year, the two were co-editors. This newspaper was unlike any other, liked by those on the staff, lacking a sports section, and disliked by the student body at large.
That's now that is a good housekeeping seal of approval right there.
Get a rope. They don't have sports. Anyway, Flansburgh began collecting sound and recording equipment, like a TAC two-track sound-to-sound recorder. He and Linnell played around with it, recording a version of Yoko Ono's Don't Worry, Kyoko, Mummy's Only Looking for Her Hand in the Snow, with faux Rod Serling voices. This may have been their first recording together.
Wow. Is that available somewhere? Does somebody, surely somebody has this archived somewhere.
I bet.
That'd be worth hearing. I mean, you're talking about origin stories. And
yeah, that's them in high school.
Well, I searched They Might Be Giant sex tape and found nothing.
Every band we
they've been trying really, really hard to fill that void, but
I was considering editing out the earlier part of that part of the conversation, but now I don't think I can. It's too embedded in the show. Thank you, Fernando.
Their sex tape is called They Might Be Giants. This video proves they're not.
Oh,
oh damn.
I don't think they'll be putting that out. Anyway.
No more buzzballs for me.
50 years or so later, the Johns are still at it. 23 studio albums, 15 EPs, 11 live albums. Their most recent is 2021's Book, which has such classic They Might Be Giants song titles as Synopsis for Latecomers, Brontosaurus, and Day for Winnipeg. Anyway, They Might Be Giants are number 4. I'm going to play Don't Let's Start from the first album, the self-titled. And thank you so much to our friends David, Douglas, Hannah, Adam, Lynn, Shannon, Dan, Kate, Ryan, Aaron, and Ed. Play something from They Might Be Giants, they say. And we say, okay. And they're at number 4.
Number 4. They Might Be Giants.
This is the worst part. To believe for all the world that you are my precious little girl. But
more programming for Fernando.
Oh, boy. That gave me a...
He hates programming.
My God.
And he loves Billy Joel.
I'm not a fan of it, but I would say that I've
made your piece of programming.
I've opened up a little bit in my...
As a drummer.
My older age.
It's so good, though. I love it.
I mean, it has its place. You have to, you know...
For me, it's just the songs. They got songs, man.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. And to your point, it's like, what would make that... That's not like a roots band. You know, it's like, it's not an organic band. It's sure. not like a band that's trying to... It's not a soundtrack to shooting pool in a dive bar in the Midwest.
Can you imagine?
Trying to pick up girls and look cool. Maybe it is now, but you know, in my goofy...
No, I don't think it ever
probably
is.
No. Okay, well, thank you for sticking with me on that.
You tried.
Picture painting lesson there I was trying to impart, it's its own thing. There would be no great service provided by having like a live drummer on that. It actually is part of the charm to me.
That's right. That's how I feel about it. So that is They Might Be Giants at number four. It's number three time. Michael, this is your last one.
This is my last pick. And
what do you got?
Okay. This is a band. I spent 17 years in the Pacific Northwest. I grew up in Oklahoma. You know this by now because I've made a few Oklahoma references.
Get a rope.
It's partly therapy, but there are some good things about that, and then there are other things that are just kind of better left unsaid. But no, I was always fascinated by the Pacific Northwest, by Seattle, stories of Bigfoot.
Right.
D.B. Cooper.
Chris Novoselic.
I'm talking about when I was a kid. Like, oh. You know, I'm talking about like, okay, so.
You mentioned Bigfoot. You said Bigfoot is the Pacific Northwest. I suddenly thought of that guy. Yeah.
Well, why wouldn't you? He's pretty tall. Yeah. You've never seen him in the same room together now, have you?
He's not blurry, though. That's what Mitch Hedberg said. He thinks that Bigfoot's naturally blurry.
Yeah, he has two defined features. But you know, growing up in Oklahoma, and it was like the 70s, and like, you know, they had two new sports teams. They had the Seahawks and the Mariners in the mid-70s. And I was born in 69, so Seattle Pilots was like... A baseball team, the Major League Baseball team that only lasted 1 year.
The Pilots?
Seattle Pilots. They are now called the Milwaukee Brewers.
Hey.
There was always something very interesting about that part of the country to me. The weather, the greenness, the mountains, the water, the maritime climate. I was always really interested. And then, you know, music started happening there, and I was in my early 20s. And then I didn't move out there until like the late 90s, till like 98.
Okay.
So everybody was either dead or in rehab or sorting out what was left of their short-lived musical career and trying to figure out what the scene was.
It was the debris of what was.
Yeah, the debris.
Yeah.
But it was interesting, and there was so much great music still happening, and
I bet
it was a very closed, gate-kept scene, but there was a lot of cool stuff. You just, if you weren't dyed in the wool one of those people, you were not going to go anywhere in that scene. But all of this is a very long-winded way of getting to my next pick. The Spinanes from Portland, Oregon. Rebecca Gates, Scott Plouffe put out a series of very well-received records on Sub Pop there for a while. And
cool.
We are talking about some songs that I would say, of all of these acts that we've been talking about tonight, probably the one band that, if they had had a bass player, they would have been kind of more... possibly mainstreamy.
This is one of those bass playerless bands.
Yeah. But But
play the bass six or get out.
Rebecca's songwriting and her chord voicings and her voice, everything is very, very of the era, and it's right on. I mean, it's just bang on. It's like very
cool,
plaintive. It's got that indie earnestness, but it's not overly.
It's got pop hooks. Yeah,
it's got pop hooks.
I love that.
But it's not.
No, I'm listening.
You know, it's not too shiny.
Right.
It's not, and it's not too obtuse. I mean, this is the thing about that music. Up there, and it's just, it's very fractious and splintery for me, because I can. It's like, oh well, if. It's like the whole Amazon. If you like this, then you'll like that. No, I won't. No, I can't stand them. I love them. But it's like it's all so amorphous, and it's all kind of part of the same cloth. But man, for me, it's like there's a bridge too far, and then there's a bridge just right, and then there's a bridge not quite enough. Spinanes are right in there. It's like it's got all of that good stuff.
I've never heard them. I've heard of them.
Oh yeah.
I definitely can't wait to hear this. By the way, our friend Cliff wants to hear something from the Spinanes. You got one of our listener picks.
Oh, so somebody. All right. Okay.
Satisfied. Well, one of our
listeners. The one that I picked was the song "Sunday" from the album "Manos." Came out in 1993.
Love the 90s. Let's check it out. The Spinanes, number three.
Number three. The Spinanes.
These are not like chiseled Greek rock gods. Not that any of us are or have to be, but I mean,
except
for him. But I mean,
I like their songs like, though. To me, if you don't have the songs, then forget it.
Well, right,
like,
and the song is.
If you can write and produce great songs, then I will be lenient on what style. You know, it comes out.
To
crosses.
Your point, like. If I could hear a song like Float On performed without all the weird affectation.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
okay,
a great song.
I can hear it. I
remember their second single, he took the affectation way too far.
Yeah, well, the next album, it kind of went over the top a little bit. But anyway, what are we talking about? Yeah, that is the Spinanes.
Sorry, listen.
talking shit about other bands from the Pacific Northwest.
We were shit talking.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. The next
airing laundry.
But thank you for that pick. That was great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It's kind of a little under the radar, even still.
Like Fern said, it should have been a thruple. But
anyway. Thruple's one of my favorite new Gen Z words.
I was just waiting for that bass to drop in there. And
It's
great, though. The songs are great and the sound is great. I love that era. Mm-hmm. I was just waiting for that bass to drop.
Anyway. Well, they didn't seem to think they needed it. And I will trade however many paychecks I've gotten in music for however many they've gotten at this point.
There you go. All right, Fern.
My next choice might be the loudest two-man band of all time. And this is Hammond organ, drums, and screaming vocals. This band was the first band to plug their Hammond organ into Marshall Stacks. And
hey, get on that mic.
This band is going to blow your mind. And we're going to discuss them after we listen to this amazing song called Wonder Woman.
All right, so this is two people?
This is two people recorded live in the studio. And this is Attila.
Oh, shit. I know this.
Play it.
I haven't heard this, but I've heard it.
Play it.
All right. Check it out, everyone.
Play it.
Number two, Attila.
Amazing album cover of all time.
It's the most amazing
two guys
album cover
in nightwear.
Is it better than the Orleans album cover?
Dude,
and yes, you know what I'm talking about.
Two guys in like knight's armor amongst meat in a meat locker.
Oh, that's good.
Now I need you to zoom in and tell me who you see.
Oh,
watch you zoom in.
The guy on the right.
Wow. I recognize those puppy dog eyes that don't care for, you know, programming synth music. I recognize that piano man.
He was an organ man back then.
That's right.
These are scenes from an Italian restaurant, but you know, like from the 17th century. in a meat locker.
I figured I'd be. That sounds like more like a scenes from a Italian barbecue.
Yes, that is Billy Joel. Everybody.
That was Billy Joel's second band.
Wow.
After the Hassles. He was in a band with a guy named John Small on drums.
He's a good drummer.
Very good drummer.
He was ripping
very
it
Very good drummer.
Yeah.
And this was Attila featuring a young 22-year-old Billy Joel on Hammond organ, bass pedals, and vocals.
Gosh. Killing it.
I decided to choose Wonder Woman because then you get to hear his screaming vocals, because my favorite track on the album is called Amplifier Fire, and it's an instrumental.
Oh, yeah. But, you got to hear the voice.
Yeah.
You got to hear the voice.
Well, you know what that reminds me of? It's like the tits, booze, and ass version of Geddy Lee and Rush before they got all
tits, booze, and ass.
He's like, wow, an ice cold beer. He was talking about, and I'm like, Geddy, no, that's not you. That's right. Not the real Geddy. The real Geddy is like, sitting in a high back leather chair.
Chamomile tea bit.
Yeah, discussing Proust or, it's like, no. Yeah. And he's talking about how he's...
Well, Billy Joel loves to party, so,
Okay. But, this is not... He's not concerned with Davy in the Navy or whatever the fuck.
By the way, our friend Bill wants to hear something from Attila.
Yay!
So, all right.
Yeah. I was heroes. I'm thinking
one,
I was going to be the...
There was one.
Yeah.
Man, He threw it.
Were there anybody who mentioned Illiterate Light or Circe?
No.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
No. Or the blues guys.
Oh yeah. Well, that was that was kind of a ringer.
They will be referred to as the blues guys.
Yeah.
That's right. Those blues guys. So it's time for number one, and this is how we do these. We collaborate. We got to figure out what should be number one. We have to agree what it should be, and I think this is a good time for honorable mentions, because then we can put out some candidates. Okay. Michael, what do you got?
All right. Well, if anybody put in a call for these acts, I will be floored, because these are pretty obscure.
There were 152 of them, so.
Well, maybe there's a chance. Okay. I will say, the first one that I'm going to mention is a band... I don't remember where they were from, but they were called Cash Money, and they were kind of a...
Well, their record label did well.
They actually had a record out on, I think it was Touch and Go, which was a Chicago label, right? Yeah.
I believe so.
And it was like that era. It was like late 90s, in my early 20s wheelhouse.
Pig Face Ministry.
Yeah. But they were kind of like a proto Black Keys kind of a thing. So it was, but their shtick was, and I saw them live in St. Louis. That was how I was introduced to them. Cash Money played at a club called The Side Door, which was a really cool club, had great acts, very well run. And their shtick was that they were a guitar and drums act, kind of a blues rock, kind of a black proto Black Keys, way before the Black Keys. But their shtick was the drummer had a little setup, a little hot plate, and they would fry bacon on stage while they were playing.
So their concert was in Smell-O-Vision.
It really was, and then
probably smelled so good.
And then the guitarist singer he would say, "Who's gonna be my first?" And he'd say, "Who's gonna come up and get some bacon?" And
so
of course I went up and I got bacon, and it was
good bacon.
It was good. I mean, and the whole club just was redolent of bacon. I'm just imagining the pre-show ritual that be like, we got to go to Schnucks. that's a St. Louis reference. You got to go to Schnucks and get some bacon.
That's funny.
So anyway, that's
Cash Money.
Cash Money. Yeah, check them out.
I don't know if they're going to make number one, but okay. What else you got?
The next honorable mention that I have is along the same lines, same club. Actually, I saw that this act. Quintron and Miss Pussycat. They are kind of a psychedelic space age lounge swamp party act.
I like that sound, yeah.
From
New Orleans. I like the sound of that, yeah. I should say.
And they are...
It's like Southern culture on the skids kind of
a
thing?
A little bit, but little org, bit. More organ-driven and a little bit more electronica.
And like, less people.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, yeah, it was like... So there's like some kind of weird, like homemade electronica aspect to it, you know, very whiz-bangy sounding. Fun band, very cool. Again, I believe they're still active and worth checking out. So, and I know that there's some records and YouTube. They have a still active website that is, it's like a 1996 spec website. So everything's in Times New Roman.
Yeah, Geocities.com/Quintron and Ms. Prisket.
Hey, I had a GeoCities site and it was up until the bitter end. Like, hey, you know what? We're done. We're over.
I love GeoCities and I hear it's making a comeback. Just kidding.
It's making a MySpace style.
Friendster.com/brokensound.
Hotornot.com/brokensound. Cool. Anything else? Or we have?
I was going to give a little mention to the drums. They were sort of a duo at one time, but they kind of grew, and they're still a very popular act. Got some great songs.
Okay.
A good combination of kind of synth heavy, but Beach Boys harmonies, twangy, surfy guitars, very morose lyrics. They're definitely worth a mention.
Right on. All right, Fern.
Okay, so my honorable mentions, I will mention three bands that are bass and drums that are very highly recommended. One of them is called Royal Blood.
Oh, yeah. A lot of listener picks for Royal Blood.
Super popular.
Lots of picks for them.
I'm not super crazy about... I mean, they blow me away in the fact that they do get a big sound. I think their songwriting could be a little more developed in the future. But they've got kind of a Muse thing going
on. Songs are so important, people.
Yeah, yeah. But they're really popular, especially in England. So
okay.
Go Royal Blood. Another band that's very popular in the States, Death From Above, 1979.
Right. A lot of picks for them.
Bass and drums. Mm-hmm. Brutal. 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 As they call it, doom rock. Brutal.
Doom rock. Death but, from above, 1979.
I have to mention this amazing band from Israel. They're called Hank and Cupcakes. And it is an incredible band with like a really funky bass player guy and a standing female singer drummer who is absolutely amazing. And they are incredible. I also saw them at South by Southwest and they are mind-blowing. They don't use bass pedals, but they use the bass player he plays uses a lot of octavers and pedals and fuzz and wah, and they are a lot of fun to watch live. Really, really cool. But I've also thought about, you know, two people in the studio making incredible music, and that's why I got to mention the Lemon Twigs, because they're incredible. Yeah. But my choices were all represented live by two people, because Lemon Twigs, they always use a drummer and a bass player, or you know, have two other people on stage.
I probably put in the most half-assed audition request with Lemon Twigs ever. About 4 years ago, what'd 5 years ago. I think I literally said something to I emailed them because I think they had put out a call for drummers, and yes. I think I literally said, "Oh, what the heck. I'll throw my hat in the ring," or something like that, thinking, you know, in my 2014 version of myself that was still like funny or spoke well of me instead of just looking like, I don't know who this guy is. He's just kind of,
it didn't work out is what you're saying.
Well, I didn't get an email back, so there was nothing to work out.
Well, it worked for Broken Sound.
Yeah, it did.
He said, what the heck, I'll put my hat in. And I'm like, I like hats.
It's a cool hat.
It's a cool hat.
Yeah, you guys both wear cool hats.
Maybe it'll work on the drumming. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's an amazing, amazing drummer, and the drumming is definitely the first thing that I caught wind of.
Nice.
But Lemon Twigs are incredible, but
great band. Yeah,
I have to mention... another incredible studio duo, John Bryan and Amy Mann. Because there's about four Amy Mann records where there's literally just two people on them.
Just the two of them.
And they're incredible in the studio, to working together, singing together, playing together. Absolutely amazing. And And, you know, and then I also have to mention Dwight Twilley Band, which was...
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Literally two guys. And they're both gone now.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, and that brings back the Okie in me.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm on fire. I remember that being on... Rock 100 KATT, the Cat, Oklahoma City.
But there are two multi-instrumentalists, you know, and they played all the instruments on the records, and it's some best power pop you'll ever hear.
Nice. Well, let me just mention Robert, David, Noel, and Terry say Death from Above, 1979. And then our friend Ryan says the Lemon Twigs.
All right.
All right, Ryan.
And then, look out, Angela, Rich, David, James, Nick, and Kays say Royal Blood.
Nice.
So I've got a few here. I think any of those could be a contender, just because we have some listeners that want to hear them. To me, these are also contenders if you're interested. It's also cool if you're not. MGMT.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, they came up with one great
album.
Yeah. No, that's legit. I actually kind of considered... Yeah, they were on a long list of mine.
Sure.
Crap. I just remembered a band that I need to mention. Frick.
Go ahead. What do you got?
Chrome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Isn't that program drums?
No, they actually played the drums.
Yeah, Helios Creed.
Helios and Damon. Damon played mostly with the drummer, and keys, and Helios is just an incredible guitar player, and the new Chrome record is just me and Helios, so it's go back to the two man thing, you know.
Nice. David, Nick, and Steve say MGMT, and Jeremy says Chrome. So there you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. I also want to mention Ween. I think Ween could definitely.
I consider them. They are so polarizing, even myself, because it's like. At some point, I
love them.
I actually saw them.
They're one of those bands that can do anything.
Yeah, I saw them way before like they were a thing.
Oh yeah,
and yeah,
in New Hope.
I saw them. Well, they were touring, and they came to Cicero's Basement Bar in St. Louis, and I was working in a Mexican joint, and I knew that they had a song called Pollo Asado. We serve pollo asado, and so I actually brought them a menu from the restaurant, and I got a snicker.
Oh, that's great.
Out of one of the Ween boys.
That's a compliment, I think.
I'm talking about it now.
Did anybody mention Timbuk3?
No.
Because I just remembered them, and it's like, just two of them and a boombox.
And a boombox, that's right. That counts. I thought you hated programming.
Man, no kidding.
Was it a drum machine on the boombox?
Has to be.
I think it was.
It doesn't. You know what?
But it was on tape. It was a drum machine on tape. That's totally different.
Not editing that out.
Totally different.
I want to mention Suicide. To me, that's like the sound of the end of the world. It's terrifying shit.
That was on my long list.
Yeah. The Bird and the Bee.
Yeah. Also on my long list.
Nora George and Greg Kirsten.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that was kind of my anthem when I was moving to Los Angeles.
There you go.
I'm from LA.
And Local H. So
Local H, that's right, with the bass the bass pickup on the guitar.
There you go. So what do you guys want to do? I think one of those so it's Royal Blood, it's the Lemon Twigs, it's Ween, it's
no mention of the BK.
Well, this is for number one. There's more you can throw out more names after. We have to figure out what's number one.
Well,
could be MGMT, it could be Suicide, could be...
I kind of think,
out of those?
Yeah. Out of these ones Death that we just above, mentioned,
which one?
I kind of feel like, we've been true to the orthodoxy thing up to this point, for the most part, you know? I would kind of like to sort of... feature somebody that is sort of either current or hasn't quite achieved what they're going to achieve.
To be number one. Okay.
I don't know. But that's just my thought about it. And I will, you know, defer to...
Well, Royal Blood, Fern says that they're like on their way. They just need to shape up their songs. You want to do that for number one? I don't know.
I'm surprised that a certain band that also mentions a color hasn't been mentioned.
Who?
The one that sued everybody?
The one that sued everybody. I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
Oh, the Black Keys. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, we talked about it.
Did we?
I mentioned
No, we talked
them.
About the White Stripes. That's how much they're...
But I mean, I mentioned the Black Keys.
Yeah, they can be...
I mentioned the Black Keys when I was talking about Cash Money, whose album you should definitely check out, Touch and Go Records, Cash Money.
Okay, let's pick something, guys. Help
Twigs.
Me out here.
I say Twigs.
Yeah, I say the Twigs, too, because think they're...
Speaking of up and coming.
Up and coming, and they're just so... They're so good.
I mean, if I have to say something that makes them, to me, the ultimate two-man band, they play horns and strings.
Ah.
And there's a song on their first record, which, by the way, was recorded when Michael was 16 and Brian was 18, that they're playing orchestral instruments along with the rock instruments.
Yeah.
And that song is called Frank on their first record. The string section's all Brian. The horns is all Michael.
Yeah. All right. I'm sold.
Yeah, I think we should do something to use your forum to put forth the, like, new
and then
music.
I'd like to talk about the fact that I was involved in the Black Keys lawsuit.
We'll talk about that afterwards.
Yeah.
Off the air.
I don't even know about the lawsuit. Bullies. I'm happy to announce.
Bullies.
It sounds like something that we may not want to have on the show. Or maybe we will. I don't know. Anyway, let's listen to the Lemon
Twigs.
Maybe
we should bring them on.
Frank.
Whoa. The song is called Frank from the Lemon Twigs. Number one, everybody.
Just only two teenagers, self-produced. Check this out.
Yeah.
Number one, the Lemon Twigs.
Everybody. That was known as Fernando music.
They've made pretty much every top 100 list that I've seen with their new album Everything Harmony. They've got Questlove talking about it, and nice. All these different people. They've definitely reached the mainstream. Even though they did have a Billboard on Sunset for that record. And they had a Billboard on Sunset for their second record. And they were on Kimmel, and they were on all that stuff.
That was from 2016, by the way. The Lemon Twigs, everybody. Yeah, I got to see them perform at the Alex Theater. Big Star 50th anniversary thing.
Yeah, they were just here a couple months ago, like a month ago, I think. Yeah,
they're incredible. And I mean, they have a four-piece band when they play live, but you know what? On the records, it's just the two guys.
And it's real strings.
Real horns. Not 1 ounce of programmed anything. Thank you.
And yeah, it's just two people.
Yeah, I think there's got to be a push for that kind of thing. It doesn't have to be everywhere.
There's a masked intruder in your house, bro.
That's a Shannon Hurley. Anyway, that's number one. That's the Lemon Twigs. Thanks so much, guys.
Great list.
What?
Wait, I forgot one two-man band.
Well, hold on.
I just remembered there's two two-man bands here. Lovers and Poets.
Hey. You can't forget that.
Which one's which?
Oh.
Who the lover, who the poet?
Yeah, that's for you
to
know.
They're both lovers.
You need to find out.
I heard that. Look up lovers.
There's not a tape.
There's not a tape.
Damn.
There's no
tape. Keep bringing it back.
There have been a few subplots and themes and Easter eggs.
God damn.
Rotten Easter eggs.
All right, guys.
I want to see Ben.
We get that.
Believe it or not, I want to see Ben.
No, you don't. There's one more thing we got to do before we go.
Turning red. He's thinking about it. He's like, is there? Is there?
Delete files. Shit.
Did you ever see the Pam and Tommy video?
Yes, I've seen it.
Not the video. Have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
When the guy goes in the safe and finds the tape.
Oh, it's like a miniseries,
yes.
Right?
Yes. It's hilarious. It's like he goes to a studio and his mixer's moved. And it's like that was where he had the safe.
We could talk about that forever. Let's do one more thing, though. Let's play the bonus track of the week from part two. This is the band that you guys want to feature over there on social media, all of our friends on Facebook, Instagram. Number one was the Lemon Twigs, man.
What was the number one pick by the fans?
We'll find out right now. This is what they want to hear over there on it's Threads, it's Blue Sky, it's Instagram, it's Facebook, it's our social media. You guys voted on this one, and here it is, the bonus track of the week for part two. Check it out.
As chosen by our listeners on social media, here's the bonus track of the week.
Hey everybody, it's time for the listener pick bonus track of the week selected by our friends over there on the old social medias. All right, this has been Top 10 Two-Man Band Part 2. Thank you so much to Fernando and Michael of Broken Sound. Guys, please get your ear holes on some more Broken Sound music. Find their album on Spotify, get them on Bandcamp, buy it on Bandcamp, see them live. Do all the things because they're awesome. And they were so cool to loan us their time and hang out and present this to you. So we have one more track to play for you, one more band to highlight, one more two-man band. And these were the bands that you guys were voting on over there on social media. We had Local H. We had Suicide. We had Ween coming in second place once again. And an absolute onslaught, a landslide of epic proportions going to the Eurythmics. Dave Stewart and Annie Lennox, of course. Synth pop. Yes, there's programming involved. Sorry, Fernando. But, you know, they're legendary for a reason. And our good friend Shannon on Facebook put it succinctly. She said, Dave Stewart and Annie Lennox brought soul and energy and creativity to their music that was completely unique. Thank you, Shannon. And thank you also to Steve, Arno, Stuart, Tim, Lynn, Adam, Terry, David, and Scott, and Todd. They say, play something from the Eurythmics. That's what we're going to do. Here's a song called Who's That Girl? From the Eurythmics, the bonus band of the week for part two. Check it out.
Listener pick.
It's not Milli Vanilli.
Oh, for two.
Please, no. There it is. That's the bonus track of the week. Thanks, everybody.
What was
for
it?
I don't know.
John Cage? That's one person.
What were you guys thinking?
I didn't hear anything.
It was the Polyphonic Spree.
What?
Really?
No. Only two of them are really singing? That's incredible. Right.
Tripling their voice. No, we'll find out what it is. They have to vote, guys.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah. So anyway, that's it. Thanks everyone who made your picks and everyone that
can
voted.
We discuss Black Keys suing me?
Oh yeah. You really want to tell this story? Huh?
I want to tell the story.
I have to hear it now.
The Black Keys sued Fernando.
They didn't sue me.
Oh, okay.
But I was involved in the suit.
Oh.
2004. I'm living in Miami, and this guy named Alan Gabay, who is an amazing keyboard player, calls me and says, "Hey man, You know, I do this thing called TV music, but they're asking for all this blues rock, and it's all guitar based. So can I hire you to like write these songs? And I'm gonna have to take 50%, but you know, just write a bunch of songs that sound
50%.
Like that sound like the White Stripes and the Black Keys.
Oh my God.
So I wrote a bunch of stuff. I listened to a Black Keys album, and I listened, and he kept on saying, Alan kept on saying, man, it's got to be closer.
Oh my God.
It's got to be closer. And he made me do some stuff that was just like, okay, this is too close.
Right.
But whatever. So the stuff got placement. I mean, one of the songs ended up on Dexter.
Hey.
One of the songs was in a Bruce Willis trailer.
Nice.
And it
congratulations.
Was yeah. It was great. It still pays. It still pays. But next thing you know, MTV News back then, you know,
damn, you didn't have even say back then.
Did Tabitha Soren talk about you?
Kurt Loder
know, talked about you.
He comes out.
Wait, it's like Edison back then.
Chris Norris,
not the Edison, not Joe Edison.
Who was the Norris guy? Chris Norris,
John Norris. He broke the news.
That was a John Norris fact.
Wow.
Okay, so yeah, he breaks the news. It's like Black Keys started suing all these music libraries, including the library we were writing for. And even mentioned one of the songs that we did.
Oh, my God.
In the lawsuit. So
whatever happened to that suit? It got thrown out?
Well, it cost the company a lot of money.
Oh.
But I still get paid on that Dexter. But it was the Dexter one that was like, man, you know, okay, it sounded a lot like Howl for You. You know, but
he kept pushing me, man. He kept pushing me.
But you know what, man, though? That actually broke the entire world because 95% of sync music, library music, is sound-alikes anyway.
Of course.
So, you know, now you can't sound like the Black Keys, so the Black Keys are off. But nobody knows.
Michael's making noises over there. What's wrong with you?
He doesn't want broken sound.
I really have an issue with people who are already making a pretty comfortable living off of a genre that was not.
The Black Keys didn't make the list.
At least they don't have black in their name. Oh!
I had just kind of gotten them. It took a couple of years, but I kind of got past my hives about.
Hey, I did. I like the hives.
Funny.
No, I'm not mentioning the hives as a band. I'm talking about the skin condition, the hives. No, the actual hives.
I love the hives. I just don't like hives. Yeah.
I wish the singer would back it off a bit, but
no way, he's awesome.
Yeah,
anyway, thank you so much, guys.
Years later, I was invited to a Black Keys show at the Staples Center.
Oh, really?
And I was there. I infiltrated. And I was gonna confront them.
If they knew you were there,
but they didn't go backstage because they found out I was there. But
you man, are an Fern's imposing
a,
figure.
Fern's a troublemaker.
For 75% of the show, they had a bass player and an organist. They only did a two man for the encore.
Can I come back with the groaning noises?
Anyway, we love the Black Keys around here. That is our list, though. Thanks so much, guys. Everyone, please go to your nearest music depository. Places that you can hear the broken
or
sound.
Or depilatory.
I heard you could check out our album at the local library,
at the Grassy Knoll.
It helps us a lot when you do that.
Our album is called Broken Sound by The Broken Sound.
Yes.
And come check it
so
out.
Good.
And also, hopefully we'll have more shows soon. But we are currently working on a record.
Well, actually, we have a show on the 25th, don't we?
We're playing with CTs.
I thought we were doing double duty.
Are we?
I don't know. Depends on whether you want to believe my Rolodex or not.
You guys got to play with Data Maps.
We should.
Yeah. Let's make that
happen.
We've
got a gig on the 25th at the Viper Room with Data Maps.
We do?
Right now.
Oh, shit.
Write it down.
January 25th?
Print it. Run downtown. Right now.
We'll make it happen.
I'll be rushing from NAMM.
We'll make it so. Thanks so much, guys. This has been great.
Woo. Thank you. This has been a joy.
It's been a joy. Thank you so much. Fernando Perdomo, everybody. Always comes through for us, and great job on his debut with the great Michael Collins.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you, Lego.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. I will put up the links to all the stuff that Broken Sound is doing on the show page, and I think we're out of here. Say goodbye to everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Adios.
Don't listen to the Black Keys.
Nope.
Listen to those bands that sound like them. Anyway, thanks so much, guys. I don't know why I said that. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening. And
Attila.
Oh, yeah. Listen to more Attila.
Attila, man. Amazing. One album wonder, but amazing.
It's like fiber for your ears.
So good. Attila. And listen and look at that album cover, too. And just like immerse yourself in
unless you're a vegetarian.
It's
like don't, if you're a vegetarian. Your if you're a vegetarian, do not look at that.
Or your eyes.
It's terrifying. Thanks so much, guys. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And until next week, until next time, peace out.
All right.
New York City!
Get a rope.